making known the riches of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Jesus, during his earthly ministry, said something that shocked many of the religious people of his day. He said that he didn't come for the righteous, but for sinners. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio. Today, I'm Pastor Chris Gordon. And today on Abounding Grace, we are going to begin a discussion on the 5 points of Calvinism. And we call this, Mike, TULIP, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the perseverance of the saints. These are important doctrines to us as Reformed Christians. And, you know, there's a big history behind this, isn't there? Maybe you could get us kind of kicked off today with why this history is important, where it came from, but also, as we're going to talk about today, the beginning T of total depravity.
Well, when we talk about total depravity, Chris, what we mean is not that we are as sinful or as evil as we possibly could be. That would be utter depravity. But rather that the whole being of the human, every aspect of who we are as a person, has some way been tainted with sin. So the mind has been affected with sin. The human emotions are affected with sin. There's not any vestigial island of righteousness that exists in us. There's no part of us that's pure and untainted from sin. Every aspect of our being has in some way been affected by the fall.
Now, this is a really important place to begin today because, you know, Mike, I would say today that the evangelical church has struggled. We're really getting half the message. We're really getting half of a message. Everything today that we're hearing is positive. We want positive messages. That's what our ministry should be. But it's all about God's love. It's all about the good news, which is great. But the good news isn't all that good if we don't understand how bad things really are. And that's why we believe as Reformed Christians, we really need to understand the teaching of Scripture regarding the heart of man, regarding the nature of man, what happened to man, just how bad are things. And, you know, in the history of the church, Mike, there have been different views regarding sin. One of the early views that came out was the Pelagian view. And we're going to outline all these views today on Abounding Grace. But the Pelagian view was taught by this British monk named Pelagius, who basically taught that sin happened by example. We're not guilty in Adam, is what he said. We're all really responsible for our own sins. It's not something that is imputed to our accounts by our federal head Adam in the Garden of Eden. This is something that as we come into contact with a sinful world and a sinful society, that, you know, as these things are imposed upon us, it's an issue of our will, and we choose to be sinners. So basically, in this view, the assumption is made, Mike, that man is basically good until he makes the choice to sin. That has a huge implication for understanding the gospel, for understanding things, and this is a very predominant view in our day. Basically, the view of the world is that mankind is generally good. And this is what we commonly hear from people today. Maybe you could start by commenting on that view and maybe some of the consequences of that view and why that view is so erroneous in light of what the Bible teaches.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Chris, if I first point out that the one who debated and I think refuted Pelagius on this matter was the great theologian Augustine. And Augustine pointed out from Scripture, mainly from Paul's letter to the Romans and also drawing on Hebrews and Galatians, but showed that before the fall, when Adam was in the garden, when all things were holy and right, there mankind had the ability either to sin or not to sin. But once Adam fell, we now only have the ability, as he put it, we are not able not to sin. In other words, we are going to sin somehow and in some way in our mind, in our heart, in our words, our actions, our thoughts, because we're dead in our trespasses and sins, as Paul says in Ephesians 2. We have to have that kind of understanding that the Bible does, because it's what makes grace so good. It's ultimately what teaches us our need for Jesus Christ. But if we only have a view of man being partially good and having the ability somehow to come to Christ, well, first of all, we can't even make sense out of all of the passages that the Bible gives us, things that Jesus says, for example, where he says, no one can come to me but that the Father draw him, or that all those whom the Father has given to me will come to me. Those things only seem to make sense as we understand the doctrine of what we call total depravity. But also, it gives us a realistic view of the world. We see why it is, for example, we don't have to teach children to be bad. Children already know how to fight over their toys or to misbehave because they're conceived and born in sin. If we have only a partial view of sin, then what are we going to have in our view of the gospel? What is it ultimately that Christ has saved us from?
Right. And coming back to this point, too, with the Pelagian view, it assumes that there's a category of neutrality in this whole thing. You know, it's interesting, Mike, in Romans chapter 6, that Paul presents to us two categories. He presents to us the category of being a slave to sin or slave of righteousness. We've made the assumption today that we're kind of in the middle. There's a middle category between these two things. I'm the sovereign in my choice, and therefore I choose either to be in the category of slavery to sin, or I choose to be in the category of slavery to righteousness. So if you can imagine that chart, there I am as the sovereign in the middle between these two things. And you know, this was essentially the Pelagian view. That in that category of neutrality, I make the choice, and therefore when I sin, I become a slave of sin when I choose to sin. What we're saying here and what the scriptures teach is there's no middle ground there. You're either in one category or the other, and what we're saying is by nature, by conception, being in Adam, since Adam fell in the Garden of Eden and all of his transgression, his guilt, was imputed to our accounts, because that happened, we are born into that category of slavery to sin. We are sinners. Do we have free will in that category? Absolutely. If I want to go steal a car today, I can go steal a car, you know. Mike just didn't recommend that. But the point is we have freedom within that nature that we are bound to. And that's an important point. We're not saying that there's no free will. We're saying that anything that is good and righteous and holy and just, my nature is completely repulsed by as a sinner. I guess, Mike, it would be like putting before my child, you know, chocolate cake or squash, mm-hmm. you know, which one's he going to go for? Mm-hmm. 100% of the time, he's going to go for the chocolate cake because that's what's appealing to his taste buds. A squash is repulsive to him. When we're dead in trespasses and sins, the only thing that is appealing to the taste buds of our heart is sin. And I got a whole lot of free will to go do that. So there's a huge consequence to this view because the Pelagian view, because it makes the assumption that basically man is good and chooses his own destiny. And we believe that Scripture in every way condemns that and says that man does not have the ability to make that choice because he is dead in trespasses and sins.
Yeah, and if we just think about the different biblical passages, for example, in Romans 3, where Paul strings together a whole bunch of quotes from the Psalms and the Old Testament, showing, making a case, really, for our deadness in trespasses and sins. He says in Romans 3, what then, are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, and here's where he strings together quotes from the Old Testament and just delivers them like a jackhammer. Okay. He says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
You know, Mike, if you were asking the Apostle Paul what view he held, it's certainly not the Pelagian view, is it? I don't know if you've ever opened up a tomb and looked at a rotting corpse, but it's an awful thing. I left fish in a cooler one time for a week and opened it up, and I've never seen anything so repulsive in all my life, or smelled. Do you know the Lord just said there in that passage that our throat is like that? This is a very serious issue, how God defines who we are. We may not like it, but the scriptures are very clear about our problem. And, you know, here we're looking at very clearly, this is actually, if you put together what Mike just read, you have a good Reformed three-point sermon. You have a thesis, there's none righteous, none can keep the law. Then he deals with the three parts of man, in his mind, and in his words, and in his actions. They are totally depraved. And he concludes with, there's no fear of God before their eyes. So that is God's indictment of the human race.
Yeah, we notice how he says there that no one understands. Again, he describes how the entire person is corrupted by sin, mind, heart, and will. That's what we mean by total depravity. We are not pure in our so-called heart of hearts. Sin reaches into every aspect of our lives, and it finds no shelter of some isolated virtue. It's radical corruption. And then notice how he goes on and says, no one seeks after God. People don't seek after God because God is holy and we are sinful. We remember what Adam and Eve, our first parents, did. They ran and hid from God. Now, sure, we often know people who seem to be searching for the truth, and it seems in one sense that they are seeking after God. But what Paul is saying is that because of our sin, we don't want the true and living God of heaven. It takes God working in the heart to change the heart, regenerate the heart, to bring us to himself. Otherwise, what we look for is a distorted version of God. Sure, we all have a natural desire to worship God, and that was stamped on our conscience in creation, because that's why we were created, to love and to worship God. But that natural desire has been frustrated by sin. And so what we do is we look for a God made after our own image. We look for one that is more appealing to us. As the old saying goes, in the beginning, God made man in his own image, but ever since the fall, man has been trying to return the favor to God. So we're much more comfortable with God made after our own set of felt needs. And these are some of the consequences of total depravity.
Yeah, and you know, I think you raised the issue, Mike, here about the heart. I often hear today people saying, you know, just listen to your heart, follow your heart. This is common lingo, even in the church today. You know, the Lord looks at the heart. And I don't know if they've ever pondered many of those passages that talk about that, but that's never a good thing. When the Lord looks at the heart, what does he see? Well, Jesus told us, out of the heart proceeds what? Murders, adulteries, blasphemes. All sorts of evils proceed out of the heart. So when the Lord was talking about the human heart in its original state, it was never a good thing. Well, we'll return to this discussion next time, Mike, as we look more at the 5 points of Calvinism and total depravity. Well, if you have taken the time to tune in today to Abounding Grace Radio, we're very grateful for all of your support, prayerful and both financial. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, and agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
The Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We invite you to come and worship with us Sundays 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.org. That address again, www.lindenurc.org.